Actor Jerry Orbach died last night of prostate cancer. He was 69. He's best known today for his role as the hardened, wisecracking detective Lenny Briscoe on the long-running, much-syndicated TV drama Law & Order. But his resume includes a number of starring roles in musicals, such as The Fantastics, Carnival, 42nd Street, Chicago, and Promises, Promises, for which he won a Tony. His movies include Dirty Dancing and Crimes and Misdemeanors. When he fell ill, he had already begun production on the Law & Order spinoff, Law & Order Trial by Jury. He's expected to appear in the early episodes of the show this season. Lenny Briscoe isn't the first cop Orbach played. In the 1981 film Prince of the City, Orbach was Gus Levy, a corrupt cop who refuses to cooperate with a commission investigating members of the narcotics squad on the take. Before we listen to the interview I recorded with Orbach in 1989, let's hear a scene from Prince of the City.
You indict me on a squawk of a dope dealer who tried to buy me out of a f***ing bust? You want to break up another federal operation that'll put away more quality mob guys in a year than you'll touch in your whole pissant career?
Detective Levy, you're hardly in a position...
I'll tell you what I'm in a position to do, and that's throw you out the f***ing window. It's only the fifth floor, but I'll try to aim you so you land on your pointed little head.
Levy, you can easily avoid trial. All you have to do is cooperate.
You got your mind made up to try me? Go ahead and try me. But not for a lousy $400. At least get me for assault.
Now, in this scene where you've just overturned the investigator's desk and then hit him real hard, it's very menacing.
Yes.
In that scene. Did you feel well-suited to that kind of menacing performance?
Oh, I love it because, you know, in real life, you can't go around throwing people's desks over and hitting them or kneeing them in the groin. You'll get sued. So to play that kind of a scene is a wonderful release for anybody because we have so many frustrations. There are people we'd like to hit, but we can't really do that. Also, it was a great release for the audience because in Prince of the City, the prosecutors are very dry and very nasty and, you know, they just don't give an inch to anybody. And it was sort of, the audience got its revenge on those guys for a minute there when I did that. It was a release for the audience.
You actually got your start in musicals. As a matter of fact, why don't I play something here from 42nd Street?
I'm sorry, show business isn't for me. I'm going back to Allentown.
What was that word you just said? Allentown? I'm offering you a chance to star in the biggest musical Broadway scene in 20 years, and you say Allentown? Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway. The hip hooray and ballyhoo. The lullaby of Broadway. The rumble of the subway train, the rattle of the taxis, the daffodils who entertain at Angelo's and Maxie's when a Broadway baby.
You know, I've read about you that your heroes when you were getting started were James Dean, Marlon Brando, Montgomery Clift. They didn't do musicals with the exception of Brando's Guys and Dolls. Was it your ambition to do musicals when you were starting out?
It's funny. I always sang and loved singing, and I studied it. I came to New York after I got out of Northwestern. I was a very serious young actor. Did study with Lee Strasberg, Herbert Berghoff, Miro Rostova, worked at the Actors Studio. But the first job I got in New York was to replace the street singer in Threepenny Opera. And I actually then replaced McKeith, Mac the Knife, for about 6 months, worked with Lenya and everything. And I went from 3 years, 3.5 years in the Threepenny Opera to originate El Gallo in The Fantastics, which gave me a springboard to Broadway in a show called Carnival. And I just kept going from one show to another, from one musical to another, and it was a terrific life. My kids were being born, and I was raising a family in New York. And all my friends who couldn't sing, who were desperate and out of work, couldn't get a job off Broadway or anything, all went to Hollywood. And some of them became big stars out there. And that's sort of what I had wanted to do, you know, in the background. I'd always wanted to do that, work in film. And it just didn't seem to work out that way. I kept working, and it was all right.
It's interesting to me that you got your start in Three Penny Opera. It seems like the perfect place for you, since it was a musical, but it was also a menacing musical. So,
yes, well, I had done the first American production of the Caucasian Chalk Circle at Northwestern, and I was very, very steeped in Brecht and pretty knowledgeable about Brecht's work and everything. So when I went to meet the director of Three Penny, and we chatted for a little while, and he gave me the job right away.
What kinds of roles did you think you were heading for when you were getting started? What did you think that your specialty was going to be?
I really didn't know I'd have any kind of a specialty. I thought I'd be a leading man, you know, and I was never a juvenile, even when I was 19 or 20. I mean, at 20, I was playing Mac the Knife opposite Lenya, which was outrageous. You know, I had no business being there, but I never looked like a kid. So it took me till I was into my mid-20s to start to really get the roles that I looked like. You know, I should have been 30, 35 playing them.
Did that seem like a hardship at the time, that you didn't look like a kid when you were a kid?
I don't know, not really. But sometimes I'd think, you know, the sort of Tab Hunter, Tony Curtis types, you know, I said, well, I can never compete with them, you know, back in the late 50s, because I was a little offbeat.
But, of course, then their careers sometimes end early because...
Yes, I found that out.
Yeah.
Longevity is in being a character, man. Somebody said, are you ever going to retire? I said, no, I want to be like Melvin Douglas playing the grandpa on my deathbed when I'm about 85. That would be a pleasure.
Jerry Orbach, recorded in 1989. He died yesterday of prostate cancer. He was 69.